the beauty is in the struggle. Like, it's the days that are the hardest for me, the days that are the biggest struggle, that if I overcome that and I get through that, are the days that I always feel like the most accomplished and the most proud of myself. And I think like that's a part of it too. You really have to kind of enjoy the process of like the hard moments and the hard days and how it makes you feel inside once you get through. And that just like spills over into every single aspect of your life outside of running. I'm a better mother because I have struggled and I know like, okay, I'm having a hard day with the kids or it's frustrating, but you know what? I can do this. I can do hard things. I can get through this because I know that if I can do it in running, I can certainly do it in this other area as well.
Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 110 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Andrea Pomeranski grew up idolizing Lisa Fernandez and dreamed of one day pitching for the U.S. softball team. On March 12th, she set a Masters American record, scorching a 3:07:48.50K at 6:03 per mile, and won her first USATF national championship. It was the second fastest U.S. 50K time behind the great Des Linden and third fastest for any woman at any age in the world, but most importantly, earned Andrea that coveted honor she dreamed of as a little girl, representing Team USA. Andrea's running resume is beyond impressive. Three-time Olympic marathon trials qualifier, second American in Berlin, first Masters in the New Haven 20K, 2:30:106 marathon PR in Houston, seventh place overall, and the American Masters record holder in the mile at 4:47 in the 50K USATF national champion. What's more awe-inspiring is how this mom of three has endured and bounced back from the personal tragedy of losing her first two children. 10 years ago, we lost our first two children in a very heartbreaking way. For a year after our second son died, I considered it a win for the day just to get out of bed in the morning. It was by far and away the darkest time period of my life, but also one that I'm the most proud of because I never gave up. Even though I felt like my world had ended that day they died, I refused to believe there weren't better things ahead. And little by little, the small wins started to turn into big wins, and now I find myself with three healthy, beautiful children, an incredible husband and friends, and even able to run and set PRs at the age of 40. Andrea was told by one of the best doctors in the country she would never run more than a few miles again due to osteoporosis, and she overcame that too. Her return to running started out for her mental health, to reclaim some personal space, but her fire was still burning bright to see what she could accomplish. I think she is just getting started and can't wait to follow along. For all the moms out there juggling so much for your family, there are so many good takeaways in this one. Let's dive in and take a listen. Andrea Pomeranski, welcome to Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. How are you doing?
I am so good, and thank you for having me. What a treat.
What a treat coming on after the American Masters record in a 50K USATF champion. Completely insane race. But before we do that, I got to just read some of your highlights, because when I bring guests on that have such amazing credentials, I love to read off some of the fun stuff. So for everybody listening at home that maybe isn't following Andrea yet, but hopefully will be after this episode, three times Olympic marathon trials qualifier, second American overall in Berlin, first Masters New Haven 20K, 2:30:106 Houston marathon PR, seventh place overall, and the American Masters record holder in the mile, and now the 50K. And for anybody at home, and I hope I got this time right, she ran 3:07:48, which is 6:03 pace per mile in the USATF champs. That is just completely insane. So I'm like lost at a loss for words, but that's my intro. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here with me.
Thank you. It's kind of surreal to hear you say all those things. I'm kind of like blushing. I can't even like believe that you're saying that. And that was me that I did those things. So.
Yeah, you did them. You did them all right. And I got to say that your Insta and Facebook and DMs and texts and all of it, they have to be blowing up, because what an exciting time for you. I mean, this race just happened, so it's literally fresh. and people are seeing it. I saw all kinds of stuff being thrown up on social. People having video shots of you breaking the tape, coming across with the clocks. Everybody's sharing, everybody excited about it. I mean, that had to feel like incredibly special.
Oh my gosh, it did. And I like all of Sunday, I'm on such a high. Like I have people, you know, reaching out to me and all my friends. And, but it's funny, you know, I'm a mom of three. And, you know, when you have 2 7-year-olds and a 5-year-old, they have a way of keeping you very grounded and humble. And so Monday, you know, they were off school, they had like a teacher's birthday or something. And I was home with them all day on Monday, the day after. And, they brought me back to reality pretty quick, but yeah, it has been, I'm joking, but it has been very special. Just the people, just the nice messages that people have said. And, that to me, like what people have said afterwards means more to me than the actual time and winning itself. Cause that's what it's all about. So it just means the world to me.
Yeah. That's our blessed community you're talking about. And,
it's unbelievable. Yes.
I think I was getting the chills just seeing the awesome elite runners, you know, that were messaging you, and super competitive women across, you know, professional marathoners, elite marathoners, sub-elite runners, and plenty of other moms out there that are just regular moms who run to feel better about themselves, to run to have some time for themselves, to get away from the craziness that is being a mom. And the blessing it is that we're lucky to have moms like you to look after us. Cause I'm, like you said, they probably brought you back to earth, you know, fairly quickly. But what was it like just reading through the comments and just so many of the people that reach out to you about this amazing performance?
Oh yeah. Just so special. Like I was saying, like that just means everything. And I'm a firm believer, you know, like people are going to forget like the times that you run, and somebody's always going to break a record that you set. But it's the impact that you're able to have on other people's lives and other people's journeys that is the real prize. So that to me just meant the world to me to hear those nice comments. And just to know that like sharing my story and my journey is somehow helping others. Because, you know, I think that's just what this is all about. And the running community, you'd be hard pressed to find a better community of people out there than the running community.
So true. So well said. And we kind of feed off that energy. We all do. You know, so somebody, you know, Tokyo was the last big major in the Guinness Book of Records for the most 6-star finishers. And the week before that was Osaka. We talked a little about before coming on the air about my good friend Lisa Waitman, you know, running 2:23 over there. And you two met in Berlin, which I didn't know before we started talking today, which I just love this huge world we live in and with this micro small level of connections. But, you know, she goes out and crushes a 2:23, comes back, runs 2:31. You know, then I'm in Tokyo and I'm reading about you. I know we're getting ready to have our conversation. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what did Andrea run? 6:03 per mile for 50K Masters record. So like it just shifts and this inertia and momentum goes, you know, Osaka, Tokyo, your race. And now Boston is like looming out there, you know, 30 some odd days. So isn't it cool to be part of that and not just be part of it that you're running, like you helped shift the momentum and the mojo and attention onto your performance for other masters runners to say, hey, I can still get after it. I can still do amazing things.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I saw Lisa's performance and that was, I took so much from that myself. And I got so much inspiration from her. And there's just so many women over 40, just like crushing it right now. And I thought, you know, like in the past, maybe you could think, or I would have thought like, oh, why them and not me? But now I'm thinking, well, if they can do it, why not me too? So yeah, I just took, it was so inspirational that gutsy performance that she had. And I thought, you know, she's 44, I'm 4 years younger. So why can't I go out there and show these young girls that we can do these things too. But yeah, she was such a big inspiration for me.
It's beautiful. She inspires you, you're inspiring countless others. And somebody else hopefully will listen to this for the first time and maybe they don't even know your story yet and be like, whoa, who is Andrea? Like, this is crazy. Like, and it's, and the range, it's like, it's, you know, you have the mile masters record, which is it 4:43 or 4:45 or something like that. I hope I didn't get that wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. So I ran a 4:45 and then I realized that the course was certified, but it wasn't sanctioned. So it actually didn't count. So I had to go do it again a couple weeks later, and I ran a 447. So yeah, so my PR is a 445, but I think the actual record is a 447. Yeah. And what's funny is like, I didn't start out like this. When I started back running again, I just was doing it, as you kind of mentioned earlier, just like for mental health, just to get out the door, because I was so overwhelmed by taking care of three little people. I just needed to carve out a little bit of space for myself. And really what started out as mental health kind of just, you know, little by little transformed into where I'm at today. So it's, yeah, I really almost like can't quite believe it myself sometimes. Because I didn't have any intention of doing this at the very beginning. It's not like I started out 3.5 years ago saying, okay, 3.5 years, this is what I want to do. It was just, okay, like I want to finish a marathon. And, oh, you know what? I think I can get faster if I do harder workouts or a little more mileage. And it just kind of incrementally, little by little, just kept building.
Yeah, that's, we're rewarded by being consistent. If there's ever a sport in the world that rewards consistency, it's running overall, but particularly marathon running, distance running. So I certainly have my share of ultra runners on here too. And the longer you go, it's all about consistency and being able to put blocks and blocks, you know, back to back, have some recovery in there. Have you, like, what's changed in your training, do you think? Or maybe not. Maybe you're not changing anything at all. You're just following a very solid prescriptive formula that's you figured out works for you, and you're just continuing to do that. What's it been like for you over this period where you've had such great performances?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I've taken, like, I know what kind of works for me, but with each, I guess, season or block, like we just keep like building and building and building and doing a little bit more, but really it's just consistency and being really smart about, I think, you know, you can clearly, as other women, and I'm trying to show too, is you can really be competitive and compete well into your 40s, but it's so much more important to take care of the little things. Like you just can't get away with as much as you could. And I'm sure you know this too. When you were younger, you know, like the staying up late or the going out drinking, things like that. I really have to be smart about how I'm fueling my body, the rest that I'm getting, you know, kind of the unsexy things. Like it's not like this, it's not, there's no gimmick, there's no magic pill or magic recovery device. It's just really, really hard work day in and day out, combined with getting a lot of rest and fueling my body well. Really, that's the secret sauce for me, at least.
The secret sauce is the little things. It's the non-sexy things, as you say. Multiple guests have repeated that, and it just doesn't matter what we're chasing. You know, some of us might be just wanting to qualify for Boston for the first time, or others might be trying to qualify for their fourth Olympic trials like you. So whatever level, you know, an audience member might be out there listening to, it is consistency. And then as we get better in the sport and we want to, you know, get better at our practice, if you will, it requires those little things. And each one of those little things becomes a very big thing over time. So if foam rolling is the only thing you're doing, that's good. You get a good check. I give you a good check, but, you know, can we add some strength training in? Are we drinking enough water? Sleep, you mentioned. And then, you know, how are you fueling yourself, you know, up to, you know, the big performance? And then the last and most important thing of all is, like, what are you actually going to fuel with on race day? Because particularly in a 50K, I mean, that's a long time to be out there. Although in your case, not really long at all, like 3 hours, you know, like a time that people would kill to run in a marathon, and you're knocking out 50K. But fueling is kind of like the secret sauce too. So what do you do for you in your case, like in the marathon or even in this 50K, like what was your like fueling plan, let's say?
So it was very similar to what I would do for a regular marathon, except a little bit more frequent, and then a little bit more and a little bit more frequent. So I didn't revamp it too much. But so I'd take like UCAN, I use UCAN products, and I made sure I had like a good breakfast, but not like too much. And then every 4.5 miles, I'd take in about like 100 calories. And that seemed to work pretty well for me.
UCAN is good stuff. So what's your favorite gel flavor for UCAN? Let's see if we're on the same page.
So I like them all. I like pineapple, but I use the strawberry banana during the race.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They're all.
But then I'll do orange is my favorite powder. So I did that before the race. Orange is my favorite powder. I don't know how people do lemon. I really just don't get it.
Well, everyone knows I'm team orange for everything. So not just what I wear, but also the gels. I think, Andrea, so for me, that those gels, they go down more like watery. The orange ones, I'm saying the pineapple one, amazing. Strawberry banana, also amazing. But they're a little bit more like a smoothie, which is great if you have access to water. And not, were you carrying a handheld with you while you were running, or were you just grabbing bottles like off the table? Because it's a 5K loop course, right? The 50K that you were running.
That's right. So my agent, Larry, was there, and he was so incredibly helpful. So how it works is you can have, so it's 10 laps of a, as you said, it's a 5K loop. And there's this window where each lap, somebody, you can either grab your bottles off a table, or if you're lucky enough to have someone there with you, they can hand you a bottle, but only in that zone. So if anybody hands you anything anywhere else on the course, you could get disqualified. So he handed me a bottle every 5K, which was just like perfect. And then I had this like little bottle, it was little enough that I would carry it with me for like a mile or two and just kind of like drop it. Yeah.
Nice. So you had a good plan. And yeah, we were talking before we came on. So now you're working with Larry Rosenblatt, right?
Yes.
For your agent, yeah. Which I know he works with Roberta Groner, amazing runner, is coach of my Central Park track club team. So it's the world, we always talk about the huge world that gets microscopically small when we have these conversations. But yeah, I know he's been terrific for Roberta. He's been a big help working with her, you know, helping her get into races and, you know, supporting her as she's traveling around the world and ran in Doha and all the other amazing stuff she's done. So excited for you. That's new, right? You guys just started working together, right?
Yes. We just, within the last month, this was our first race working together. So I started off on a good note. So I'm excited for good things ahead.
Great. So before we get into ahead, I think it'd be always fun to just get a little bit of background on you, where you grew up, what life was like as a kid, a little bit about family life, because I always find the most interesting and fun things on the dynamics at home and how people were as kids growing up.
Yeah, so I'm one of four. I have three brothers, and I grew up in the Midwest in Indianapolis, a few blocks away from Butler, if anybody's familiar with Butler. My family has always been super active. So like right when I came out of the womb, I was like following my little brothers or my older brothers around, trying to do what they do. And I think this kind of plays into kind of how I am today, because my dad was always just so great about kind of just instilling this belief in me that anything that my brothers could do, I could do and better. And I always thought that from a very young age. And I'm so grateful that he kind of always told me that, you know, I couldn't do something, or didn't tell me I couldn't do something because I was a girl, or I don't know if that makes sense, you know. So I was always kind of following my older brothers around who were very athletic in their own right, thinking, okay, well, if they can do that, so can I. And I always was like, kind of sticking my nose in what they were doing and trying to hang with them. So it came naturally to me from a very young age. We were always really active.
Yeah. So that competitive feisty spirit starts early, man, when you're mixing it up with your brothers.
Oh yeah.
You guys are, I imagine Monopoly and game nights must've been fun, man. I guarantee you guys were competitive at everything, right?
There were many a game pieces like thrown on the floor at times in my house growing up. So. Yes. I'd like to think that we've matured as we've gotten older. But yeah, when we were younger, there were interesting fights over all kinds of things. We were very competitive.
Love it. And the support, you know, whether it's mom, dad, whomever, it doesn't even matter. It's that first like imprint of, you know, that self-confidence, that belief that, you know, no matter what your brother, it's not just your brothers, it's anybody. If you have a dad, a mom, or both parents like in your corner like that, you just don't limit yourself. You believe in yourself. And in that kind of family environment where you have other athletic brothers or sisters, it's just the perfect environment to, you know, foster that competitive spirit at a young age, even if you have no idea what you like yet. Although if I remember correctly, you were really into softball, big time into softball, and your brothers were into baseball. So that was like what you really focused on way before running came into the picture, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it just like that environment fosters a mentality, and it doesn't really matter kind of what avenue you choose to go in. That mentality is always going to be there. So originally my dream, it's kind of funny now that I just made this US team, because my dream growing up was always to play for the US softball team. I mean, I remember just for years dreaming and thinking, and you know, that would be that would be the greatest thing to ever happen, is to play for the U.S. softball team. So it's kind of funny now at age 40, I end up making a U.S. team in an entirely different sport. But it is really just that mentality just carries off to everything else, whether it's work or sports or parenting. It's just, I'm so grateful that both of my parents just really fostered that in me at a young age.
And what was your position in softball?
Oh, I was a pitcher.
on the hill in charge.
Yes.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I liked being in control and active. It was a lot less boring than the other positions.
Awesome.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great. And team sports teaches so much. What are some cool lessons you learned along the way from team sports?
Oh God. Yeah. So many. In fact, I want my own kids to play. I don't mind if they go off into an individual sport, but I would love for them to play a team sport as well, just because you learn how to work with others. You learn how to win gracefully. You learn how to lose gracefully. All of those things. It's just invaluable. Sports. I'm just a huge proponent of sports for kids and even adults for that reason. There's so many lessons that carry over into your life that I think are just incredible.
Yeah. Well said. And I'm sure your kids are going to be involved in mixing it up. And I think it's great to have kids exploring a lot of different things when they're younger anyway. There's such a push, it seems, these days for kids to play soccer all year round or lacrosse all year round. That can be more easy if you're in like a warmer climate or a part of the country where the weather can put you in a better position for that. But I just, from my own experience, I just love playing all the different sports. And as you said, you just learn so many lessons, and coaches' styles are so different. Versus if you're only swimming and you're in a pool all year round or just doing gymnastics, it doesn't mean it isn't an amazing adventure, but it also can lead to burnout, you know, in kids too. So it's great when you're well-rounded and you're doing different things.
Absolutely. And that's one thing, you know, it's funny as a parent, like when I grew up, it was always, you know, basketball, volleyball, softball, always different sports. And it is, I'm finding as my girls are really into soccer and it is year round, because even though I live in Michigan, they play inside. And I'm kind of scared. I'm like, I hope I don't get burnt out. But it's almost to the point where these days I feel like if you're not doing it year round, you're kind of falling behind. So it's something I'm very cognizant of with my girls. I don't want the burnout. So we'll kind of throw them in some other things like gymnastics and things like that, so that they have other sports. But yeah, it's interesting how things have kind of shifted over the years.
Yeah, no question. And who knows, if when I was growing up, you had that opportunity, I probably would have done baseball all year round if that was an option for me. So I can't pretend for a moment that I wouldn't have taken that path if I was offered that from my mom or dad, which it just wasn't something that was available. You know, these facilities like indoor, you're in Michigan where the climate is really tough, particularly in the winter. You didn't have these indoor facilities, training facilities, places where kids could work out all year round, these soccer academies and places where kids can go, or lacrosse academies. Like, they're amazing. I mean, they've got amazing strength equipment and trainers and agility. And, you know, for nothing else, the kids are going to be strong and athletic and fit, which is wonderful. So that's a huge plus.
Yeah. And I remember when I was young, I did play softball year round from like by the time I was in middle school, but my dad and I, like, we would drive 45 minutes to an hour just to get to somewhere in like an obscure part of town, because that was the only thing that was available. And now it's like 10 minutes, you know, there's three different facilities within 10 minutes of our house. So I'm fortunate that they do have those things.
Yeah. And you take advantage of them. So, high school, college days, any like impactful key coaches, teachers, mentors, somebody who left an imprint on you?
Oh yeah. I thank my lucky stars every single day. And I'm so grateful that I've been fortunate to have so many great coaches, from the time that I was really young. You know, it's just, it kind of breaks my heart every time I hear about, coaches doing, just going the wrong direction and leading the people that they mentor astray. And I think there's been a lot of things lately coming out about that. And I'm just so grateful that I've had so many incredible coaches over the years. My high school coach, I remember. So I played softball. That was my main sport in high school. And I kind of convinced them to let me also run track, but they said I could, with the caveat that they didn't want to know anything about it. So I had to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning to run my workouts before school because softball practice was after school. And my coach would meet me in the mornings before school at 5:30 in the morning. And he was always so encouraging. He always just thought that I was capable of more than even I thought I was capable of. And that was my high school coach. And he was just wonderful. And my college coach was wonderful as well. He was always very careful not to kind of overdo things with me because I did kind of come in the sport a little bit later. And he was always really encouraging. And yeah, my coach now, we have a really great relationship. And he's kind of keeps things fun and knows that my family is always going to be number one. So he's really good about keeping it like a hobby, but also like knows when to push me, but knows when to probably more importantly, because I always want to, you know, do more and more and more. He knows kind of when to hold me back too. So we have, it's kind of fun. We have a good friendship.
Well, that's great. And we definitely need someone when you have a competitive spirit like you do and you're a high performance achiever. It's as important or maybe the most important to have someone who is looking to hold you back and constantly looking to not let you get out over your skis, because top performers in any walk of life, they're always trying to find that edge. They're always trying to find that boundary. And it's on the edge where we can find greatness, but it's also on the edge where we can end up in a boot or with a stress fracture or, you know, just exhausted or just, you know, not feeling the true love or passion for the sport that we want to have.
Yeah. You're towing like a fine line, definitely, when you're really pushing the envelope and seeing kind of what you're capable of. And he's pretty good too. And he'll sometimes say like, how are you feeling? Like what kind of stress is going on at home? Like, are the kids, you know, good? Because he knows like, you know, your body feels stress, whether it's physical or mental. So sometimes he'll say, okay, let's just do one workout this week. You have a lot going on. And let's back off. Cause I'm the type, that kind of, like you said, I'm always like, okay, I think I can do more. Let me do more. No, this is fine. Just do what I tell you. Just you'll be okay. So yeah, I'm thankful to have somebody to hold me back at times.
Yeah. Don't worry, coach. I can run up the side of this building 10 times. I got this. I'll put some spikes on my shoes. It'll be okay. I want to show off for my kids, you know? I mean, we're all crazy at some level, and you know, it's
100%. Yeah.
It's great that you have somebody who is aware of your, you know, mom role, the things you have to do there, because there's a huge amount of responsibilities there with three, but also that you're trying to run at this elite level and you're pushing boundaries and really trying to take your running to another level. So that sounds like a great connection. Who is your coach? Who are you working with?
So it's Tony Houchin. He's used to coach Division One. He coaches individuals now. So
great. So before we get into, you know, specifics on the coaching, like how did you actually find running? Because obviously you were a really talented softball player. You know, you were kind of dipping your toe in a track a little bit, running, as you talked about a little bit before workouts. But just, you know, how did you actually get that first intro, like where you first really stepped into running?
Yeah. Ironically, it was through softball that I found running. So our softball coaches would have us run like a couple miles, maybe twice a week, just to get a little bit of training and endurance for softball. And one of the girls on our team was also on the varsity cross country team. And I would run with her during these like 2 or 3 mile runs. And she was like, Andrea, she's like, why don't you try out for cross country? So like, she's like, if you can run with me, you'll make the varsity team for sure. Cause we would just run and talk. Like I wasn't super out of breath. And, at the time, like I didn't really want to take any time away from softball, you know, cause I was so driven. And she's like, no, it takes like an hour a day. It's only in the fall and you'll have plenty of time to practice softball after practice. And I thought, you know, like, I don't want to be a one sport athlete. And originally I just did it because I wanted a pin to put on my varsity letter jacket. That's literally the only reason why I tried out for cross country. Cause I thought I could make varsity and get a pin for my jacket. And as it turned out, I was better than I thought I would be. I ended up being the number one runner. I made it to state and I just really, I just kind of loved it. I mean, it took about a year for me to actually like the sport, but once I got over that initial like hump of like how hard it was physically, I started to enjoy it. And I, thought it had more potential in running since I just started, running and was pretty good at it. So at that point I decided to run in college and the rest is kind of snowballed from there.
And you got your pin for your jacket. So, I mean, come
on.
I
did get the pin.
It's like, that's a huge, huge bonus. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
it's so funny that like now I don't even know if I still have a letter jacket, you know, the things that are seem like a big deal to you at the time. That,
hey, yeah, they were a big deal. They were a big deal back in high school or college, man. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Those, it was, right?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's been so impressive, you know, where you started and, you know, kind of where you've taken it to this point. And, you know, you've had some big breaks in there too, right? In terms of your training and your running over the years, right?
Yes, that's right. I'll give you kind of like the Cliff Notes version, but essentially, so I ran in college and I was good. I wasn't like a national standout. I never won like a national title or anything like that, but I was a three-time All-American. So I definitely excelled in college. And then, you know, this was back in the early 2000s. I just thought that that was it. Like, I didn't know you could keep running after college. And I thought that that was just like the pinnacle of the sport. You make it, you run in college, you run especially Division One, and then like you made it and you graduate and you go on and you do other life things. So I stopped running. And then when my husband proposed, I just found myself, this is back in, I don't know, 2008, maybe somewhere around there. I had stopped running for a couple of years. I was really out of shape and I just didn't want to show up at my wedding out of shape. I was like, I have to look good in my wedding dress. So I signed up for a marathon in the hopes of kind of getting back in shape to just to look good in my wedding dress. And then of course I realized that it wasn't about vanity. I just really thrived in that kind of environment, setting a goal, running every day. I missed just like the process of setting a big dreamy goal and then going after it. So I ran the New York City Marathon and yeah, it was 2008. And then I just kind of said, well, no, I think I can be faster. And I think it can be faster. So I ended up running, taking my time from a 2:58 all the way down to a 2:37. And then in 2010 in the Chicago Marathon, I actually dropped out because I was having quite a lot of rib pain. I found out later in the week that I had two broken ribs. My doctor said, you have osteoporosis. You're not going to run more than a couple miles, probably ever. Competitive running is over for you. So I stopped running for 9 years. And then with the birth of our son, who's now five, after he was about a year and a half, I just kind of how I mentioned before, I was so overwhelmed with motherhood and taking care of three people. And it's being a mom is by far and away the greatest joy that I have ever had in my whole life. But I was just very overwhelmed with three kids, two and under, and I needed to kind of carve out some space for myself and also like have a little bit of sense of control and kind of a time where I felt like my life was like so chaotic and like I didn't have control over anything. I was just like the whim of these little babies. So I started to run again, and that was in 2019. And it's kind of snowballed again since then. So that's kind of where we are today.
Wow. So if I got it right, let's see, 2:58 New York was your debut?
That's right.
So debut sub-3, which not many people can actually check that box. 2:37, running with broken ribs in a marathon. I could guarantee you there are very few people that have ever even tried that one. That's one that most people would never think about, although I'm sure you didn't know that at the time. It's amazing. And then of course, you know, how you really started was because you want to look good in your wedding dress. I mean, that's the best stuff of all, man. Come on, man. Because, you know, like people will say, you know, I want to, you know, do this and that. It's great, man. When we're just honest about shit, it's like, yeah, of course you want to look good in your wedding dress, yeah, man. And I'm sure there are plenty of dudes that are listening to my show too, who, you know, maybe gained 15 or 20 pounds and want to look really buff and fit, you know, going down the aisle, because who doesn't, man? We want to look great, man. It's our wedding. It's yeah, one of the biggest days in our whole life, and our families are there. Exactly. Everybody's there. So, you know, it starts off there and it's amazing. It didn't take yeah, long for you to figure out you weren't just doing it for that, but that you really needed this. Like, I needed this. There's something in there, and we never know how long it's going to take. Like, if you can even remember, like, how long into when you started running again, did you feel like, oh yeah, this is what I need to be doing all the time? Like, was there a switch in there at some point where you're like 2 weeks into this, 3 weeks into this, where you're like, I miss running so much, man. I didn't realize it.
Yeah, I think it kind of just gradually progresses. And it's funny, you know, like both times, you know, I kind of started out, and I never started out with the intention of, okay, in 3.5 years, like I want to be breaking American records. Like that never even was on my radar. It never crossed my mind. But it's just kind of funny how like you start out for one thing and you reach a goal and then you set another one and you reach that goal. And then it just kind of, you go from there. But I always have really just thrived on like moving my body in some fashion, and particularly running. I just, it's for my mental health. I just love like the endorphins. I love, like moving my body. So it didn't take long to realize that I love the act of running, but I definitely didn't set these like big monster goals right away. I mean, like when I first started running to go to my wedding dress, it was, okay, I just want to complete this half marathon. And then after a couple of weeks, it was like, oh, well, I'm doing really good. So maybe I just want to break 1:30 in the half marathon. That was my goal. And then I finished the half marathon and it's like, gosh, you know, I just want to say I did a marathon. I want to cross off my bucket list and then I'm done. And then I finished the marathon and it's like, well, I qualified for Boston. How can you not run Boston? I'm going to go run Boston. And then it was, man, I'm only 7 minutes from the trials. Why not try for that? So it's just funny how these things, like if I were to have thought, at the beginning to set a record, like I think I probably would have quit because that goal would have just felt too intimidating at the time. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think so much of your running, even with these gaps and breaks, it's organic, you know, at the base level. Like, I mean, even as a softball pitcher, particularly pitchers in baseball, as your brothers played and I played in softball, pitchers always have to run. I mean, it's just part of the job. It's part of the job description. And so, you know, it's so funny that you're out there running with someone who was on the team and you're able to chat with her and she's like, you know, one of the better runners on the team. And she's like, hey, you should come out for the team. So it wasn't like, you know, you got roped into this, you know, and didn't really want to do it. It just, you just realized like, hey, I'm actually doing pretty good with this and I'm talking and
yeah.
I'm running with somebody who is like actually good. And so it just kind of all happened in a way that seems very natural to me over time. And then you coming back and wanting to get fit and look your best for your wedding and then setting some short-term goals, a half marathon, a marathon, like, you know, you're just kind of going along in the process without those, like you called it earlier, big dreamy goals. But all of a sudden you run the first one and you're on a sub-3 and it's like, well, I might as well take another swing at this thing. And then it's 2:37. So you already, that's the new marathon standard, right? It's that it used to be 2:45. So you, in your second marathon, you ran that, which is totally crazy. And
Well, it was, it was kind of, so I ended up running a 2:30. So I ran a 2:58 and then a 2:51 in Boston that spring. And then the following fall, I ran a 2:41 and then a 2:37. So it didn't happen like, yeah, it was, but it was about a span of about 2 years where, or a year and a half. Yeah.
That's a crazy progression. And amazing, you know, to be able to be taking those chunks of time off and do it. And so 3 Olympic trials, let's get into, you have so many career highlights, pick a couple that are your favorite, and just talk about it, whether it was the process of qualifying for something like the, you know, Olympic trials or a specific couple of races, just talk about what made them special and, you know, what those experiences have taught you.
So real quick though, it's funny when you were talking before, I want to mention this before I get into it is, when I first started out running, I actually like, I didn't like it at all. I thought I hated it. It was so painful and I wasn't, really like in shape. So it just hurt every single time I went out. So I just, the only reason why I want to mention that is because for anybody that is starting out, maybe running and is finding themselves in a similar position, just like stick with it, because once you get over this initial hurdle of kind of actually getting in a little bit of decent shape, it gets a lot better. So hang in there. Because I hated it for about 6 months to a year. And my dad, like, he was like, well, you signed up to run cross country. You can't quit. You got to finish out the season. And I'm so glad that he had me kind of stick it out. So, but as far as races, my favorite races, well, one that actually, this is kind of funny, that sticks out in my mind is not my fastest, but I did a half marathon with my husband a couple years ago. And that was really special for me because I got to run with him. So that was kind of fun. That's my favorite ones. I would say like the first time that I qualified for the Olympic trials, just because I never imagined that it was something that I was capable of. And this was the first time around. So back in 2009. So just to qualify for the trials for the first time, it was just really fun and unique. And like my mom and dad were there and one of my best friends was there. So that was just a very special moment for me. I think that was like the Twin Cities 2009 marathon. Setting the American record in the mile was really cool too, because it was a shorter distance than I was used to. I didn't know if I could do it. And then I crossed the line and I was like, I can't believe I actually did that. I can't believe I set an American record. when I was in college, when I was an All-American for the first time that was a really cool feeling as well.
Yeah. Those are some huge milestone accomplishments, big moments, and very different too. Shorter distance mile, you know, running with your husband, super cool. And, you know, first Olympic trials. I mean, I would think that has to have a huge mark for any man or woman, you know, to meet that goal is just such an incredible accomplishment. So your first one, you know, and the only thing I could think
of
could,
of course, this weekend too.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you top? Like, yes, winning a national championship, making a USA team, that's probably going to top the list. I mean, just to make a US team at age 40 is, I never dreamed that would happen.
how could you, it's hard to dream that big. I think one of my favorite quotes ever is trying to think which, I think it was Bubba Watson, the golfer, is like, you know, I never won any of these championships in my dreams. I never won the Masters. Like, cause you know, you dream of maybe being a professional or like you said, making a national team or the trials. Like sometimes you go so much further than even a dream. Like a dream is supposed to be the absolute limit, you know, the max. And, you know, yeah, for sure. I was going to tag on to this weekend and making, you know, your first national team. I mean, those are like incredible milestone moments, like unbelievable.
And at age 40, just when I thought, you know, and I, like I said, I've had so many layoffs for years and I had 9 years where I didn't even know if I would be able to run again. And so to be in this moment where I'm making a US team at age 40, when I thought my career had ended, I mean, it's just so surreal. And then the other thing too, is like in a 50K, 31 miles, there are so many things that can go wrong, and that wasn't lost on me. And I knew going into it that I was in really good shape, and I knew that I was capable of setting an American record. But I didn't know if it was going to happen. You know, like the weather has to be decent. You have to be feeling decent. You have to have a good day. Your nutrition has to be on point. I mean, there are just so many things that can go wrong. But at the same time, too, like there are things that do go wrong, and it's up to you to kind of have the strength to say, okay, like, how am I going to figure this out and not let that get to me? Like I had to go to the bathroom twice and I was like, okay, like I could freak out about this or I could just like do the best I can and keep going. So, I mean, I tried to kind of always keep that in my mind, like just keep going, just do the best you can.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that piece because people, no, I really mean it. I mean, not even trying to be playful or joke around about the bathroom, the pit stops, but, you know, people just automatically, you know, make an assumption, you know, you set an American record at any distance, the mile, obviously the longer it goes, you set it so perfectly, the more things can go wrong. But this is 50K, it's 31 miles. I mean, it's like a long time to be out there and it's the 5K loops, that monotony over and over and over again. But
yes.
No race, not
you
even
have to like expect that something's going to go wrong. It's just, what tools do you have to figure it out type of thing, you know?
Yeah. And you,
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's totally okay. You're basically trying to figure out and manage these many things that are going to come at you in a race. And, you know, obviously the longer the race, the more things that can and will come up. But having to go to the bathroom, whether it was once or more than once, and you think you said it was more than once, like that could really mess with somebody mentally. Like, I mean, you could be like, oh, I'm screwing up my race or I'm doing this or that. So, you know, kudos to you, man. It takes real mental strength. First off, when you have to go, man, there's just no way around it. I mean, you know, you had to go. But so that's even more insanely impressive because without those pit stops, you obviously would have run faster. And it's just even more of an incredible performance. So, amazing stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the other cool thing was admitting that you hated running when you're starting. I think that's just like the more,
it was so bad.
Yeah. But I mean, like, again, the more authentic we are about our experiences, the more it potentially can bring people into the fold, right? Yes. And that's what this is about, right? This show and our running and this beautiful thing that we have and we love, we want to foster, you know, community spirit. We want to bring more people in. And if people hear that from you, somebody who's made three Olympic trials, who has, you know, American records and has made a national team and all this other stuff, running in elite fields, like, it just changes somebody's perception. Like, wow, she hated it when she started. She didn't like it. And her dad basically said, hey, I love the fact that he wasn't going to let you fold. I love it because that's what you need. And a lot of parents would have just been like, okay, Andrea, don't worry, go on to something else. So I think when we learn at an age like that, hey, you signed up for this. You made a commitment to be on the swim team or whatever. You got to live it out. That's a great life lesson. You have to stick it through.
That's exactly right. I'm so grateful that he did. He said, well, you made this commitment and you have to at least finish out the season. Absolutely. And I think it's important to share too. Like I'm clearly I'm motivated and I'm driven and I love the sport. I have a very big passion for the sport, but there, you know, not every day is like, I'm not always excited to get up. There's some days where like, I kind of have to give myself a little carrot to get out the door. I mean, and that's like, I think people don't share that too. They think like, oh, elite runners are always itching to get out the door and love every second of every run. And that's just not always the case too. Sometimes, you know, I have periods of time, maybe it's weeks at a time where it's like, oh, like this is going to be hard. It's going to be painful. This workout's going to hurt, but you know what? Like I'm going to have the courage to do it anyway, because I know like I have these long-term goals and I'm going to have to do the best I can today if I want to reach those. And sure enough, after, you know, sometimes it lasts a couple of days, sometimes it lasts a couple of weeks, but my drive and my passion always comes back. And sometimes you just kind of have to put in the work knowing that, you know, you're always not always going to be motivated 100% all the time.
So what's a carrot you use to get yourself out the door?
Oh, sometimes they're just fun. Like I'll say, okay, like if I do this, like I'll, you know, I've been eyeing a shirt or something and then maybe I'll get myself a shirt. And, but what's funny is like when I'm done, like I don't even want to buy it. It just kind of to get me out the door. Or like, I'll, when I'm done, I can come home and like watch a guilty pleasure show that I've been wanting to watch, but I normally wouldn't let myself, you know, just little things like that.
Hey, negotiations, man, between your ears, the bargains we make, in races are one thing, but you know, if whatever it takes, if how you can convince yourself to get out that door, it's just such an important thing. And you know, it's just so funny because you led me right to this topic, which is drive, energy, spirit, competitiveness. Where does it come from? Tell us.
Oh yeah. Oh man. You know, I have been, I think a part of me just kind of popped out of the womb like this. I've always been incredibly driven from a very young age. And like, I think, as I mentioned, I think part of that was the way in which I grew up with these two older brothers. And I was always kind of sticking my nose in it, trying to hang with them. And, but I remember too, like playing softball with my dad when I was younger, I would always kind of ask him, okay, like, what's the limit? Like, what do you think I can do this? And he would say, yeah, I think you can do this. And I keep asking him like, do you think I can do this? And until I heard a no, and then it would be like my goal to kind of prove him wrong. And I always have loved that. Like, you think I can't do this? Well, I'll show you what I can do, you know? And I think I've always been very driven to kind of, just like push the envelope and just see what I'm capable of more than achieving like a certain time or a certain accolade. I just want to see what I'm capable of. If that makes sense.
Sure, it does. Sure, it does. And in almost every case, people like yourself, it's honed at an early age, but we kind of find that feistiness in the family environment. But, you know, sometimes it's an only child who, you know, it's other athletes that they're competing with, but almost always, the parents play such a key role because they want their kids to be in the mix and learn about resilience and toughness and all the things that sports teach us. And it's not all rosy and it's not all perfect, man. We all struggle and you struggle. And I love that you're sharing that. We're not always going to want to run. We're not always going to want to do our hard workout. We're not always going to want to, let me get my 20 miler in. No, I don't feel like doing this. So this is real life, man.
Yeah. But I find like also that like, the beauty is in the struggle. Like it's the days that are the hardest for me, the days that are the biggest struggle that if I overcome that and I get through that are the days that I always feel like the most accomplished and the most proud of myself. And I think like that's a part of too. You really have to kind of enjoy the process of like the hard moments and the hard days and how it makes you feel inside once you get through them. And that just like spills over into every single aspect of your life outside of running. I'm a better mother because I have struggled and I know like, okay, I'm having a hard day with the kids or it's frustrating, but you know what? I can do this. I can do hard things. I can get through this because I know that if I can do it in running, I can certainly do it in this other area as well.
Yeah. And I have no doubt your kids, they're young, obviously, but they're watching mom and they're watching mom crush exactly it in right. races. They're watching you when you're having a rough day or a good day. So, you know, they just soak it all up and they're paying attention.
They
so,
do.
You know, you're setting an example and of course your husband too, but it's just important stuff that you're talking about, like taking on these things and, you know, don't let life beat you. Right. You got to keep going. And when you get into these tough patches and you're worn down from all the training and the miles and also all the mom activities, you know, you gotta figure out a way to keep the ship floating, right? Cause that's what moms do.
You have to persist. That is what moms do. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, where would any of us be without our moms? We'd all be in the shitter.
Oh, no true words have been said. And I've always kind of been like, our kids definitely learn more from watching us do something and from us telling them what to do. And I think like I've always been kind of more of a lead by example person, like a rah-rah leader. So that's why I feel so good about kind of what's happening now is as they are starting to get older, they see these things. Or like I used to feel so guilty about leading, like the mom guilt, you know. And now, you know, when my kids say, Mom, I don't want you to leave to go for a run. I want you to stay here and snuggle. It used to like kind of crush my soul. I'm like, oh, like, I'm sorry. I used to feel so bad. And now I kind of feel like I'm empowering them. I go look at my daughter when she says that. And I'm like, Annabelle, like, don't you want to be good at soccer? And she says, yes. And I said, well, I want to be good at running too. And if you want to be good at something, what do you have to do? And she says, practice. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go practice. But when I get back, I'll snuggle. And like, I love that. Like I'm able to kind of switch it around now and show them that instead of feeling guilty about taking some time for myself.
That's so powerful because moms wear all the hats, right? That's just it, right? So you have that one heart, but you have to share it with everybody, your husband, your kids, and you know, everything is always, you're at the center of all of it. So it is.
Everybody wants a piece of you.
They do. And it's, you know, with three boys, we were all just like pulling her, you know, like elastic band, like a rubber band, like, you know, hey, I'm over here. It's just the way it is. And
yeah.
we just want our moms to see us, our moms to hear us, to pay attention. So I think what you just said is going to help so many other moms because it's a huge step that you made in your own life, managing that from, I can't do this or I'll do it, but I'm feeling guilty about doing it, to actually being able to have a conversation. And of course, it's very different when your kids are at an age when they're starting to play sports, whether it's t-ball or mini soccer, whatever it is. You can have a different conversation when you're breastfeeding them or you're doing some of those other things in a stroller, in a carriage. But that's a powerful lesson because you're teaching them, hey, you know, don't you want to be good at soccer? Do you want to be good at ice skating? How do you get there? Well, we have to practice, right? So this is mom. This is what I'm going to do. So you just said that. I think it's a beautiful example. And you know what? She's going to remember that for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. And that's kind of what it's all about. And I hope that me sharing this will help someone else. If it even just helps one person, it's worth it for me because I remember for years, I struggled so deeply with mom guilt. Every single day. And I did it anyway. And I kind of had this feeling that eventually it was going to serve some kind of greater purpose. And I hope that kind of now I'm realizing that and I can share that with others that like you just drop the mom guilt. Like if I want anybody to take anything from this conversation, if they're a mother, it's drop the guilt. It's okay to do stuff for yourself. And it helps your kids in the long run too. It makes them better and it makes you better for them.
Yeah. It's such a powerful message. And it took you years to get to that place, but it's okay. Because some other mom out there is still in the years segment and hasn't, taken yes. those shackles off and that weight off of her shoulders. And it's maybe costing her sleep. And maybe she is going out for a run, or maybe she has a different activity altogether. Maybe she's going to the YMCA and swimming in a pool. Maybe she's riding a bike, a mountain bike, whatever activities we do physically to help us, because we need the endorphins, man. We have to exercise. We have to be moving 100%. Through space and time to deal with anything, stress, anxiety, relationship, things that we have, the push and pull of life. So you sharing this is super powerful. And look, you have to give yourself permission. That's what it comes down to. You have to give yourself permission that you are allowed, you're worthy, you're more than worthy, for Christ's sakes, like to be able to go and enjoy this thing that we do, this thing that we love. And it doesn't matter if it's just, your second run of the day, or it's 6 miles at some crappy pace, but you'll always feel better when you come back. And I guarantee you, when the kiddos are coming to you to pull on you, you are a whole lot more equipped to handle it after you got that run in, right?
Absolutely. Oh yeah. And you said that so beautifully too. Yeah. And I am, like, I come back and I feel so much better. Like, I am more well equipped to deal with all the, you know, the chaos that kind of comes with being a mother, especially of three little ones, three very high energy little kids. Yeah. I don't ever regret, like, once I'm finished, I don't ever regret, like, going out the door.
Truth. And why dinner isn't served when you come back? It's not already cooked. It's not already prepared. Like, I don't understand. Like, Mom, where's dinner? Oh yeah, I cooked it while I was on the run. Like, boom, snap your fingers and it's done. But yeah, like the push and pull of it all. Well, thanks for sharing that. So this is one that I know we're going to get into a little bit here. Darkest hole you've ever dug out of, and how, because in your case, you've shared this before, and it's just obviously a really hard subject to talk about. But, you know, if you're willing to want to talk about it a little bit, again, I think it would certainly help others.
Yes. So in 2013, so after I was kind of told that, like, I couldn't run again, it was, you know, obviously it's really hard. It was devastating, but I was at peace with it because my husband and I wanted to start a family. So we just said, okay, like, this is kind of our new chapter. We're going to start a family, and we were super excited about it. And in 2013, we were pregnant with twins and ended up losing them really in a tragically, like, and devastating way. It doesn't even scratch the surface of what it felt like when we were going through it at the time. So they were born severely premature. And then one of our sons died the same day. And then our other son, we spent 5 months in the NICU with him. So we were at the NICU pretty much all day, every day with our son, and he ended up passing as well. And so, yeah, that just, I remember when I was going through that time period, just feeling like my life felt like it was over at the time. And to this day, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through, but also, like, one of the things that I'm most proud of for actually getting through, because it was so difficult. And we didn't know, like, if we wanted to have kids again, it was just, if we wanted to go through that. And I'm just so proud of my husband and I for having the courage to try again, because, you know, we wouldn't be in the place we're at today if we didn't. So, and I think it's important to share too. Sometimes I don't know if I should share it or not, because I don't want to make people feel, you know, like, uncomfortable. But I remember when I was going through it, just feeling so deeply alone. And now I'm kind of more open to sharing it, because I don't want anybody else to feel like that either. And we all have struggles that we're going through, especially moms. Like, when I was going through that, I remember, you know, everybody around me just having these perfectly healthy babies, no issues getting pregnant at all. And I felt like, oh, the problem is just me. And I think it's important to share your story, because the more I share it, the more I hear other people saying, oh, I went through something similar, or this happened to me too. But we tend to not share those things. And I think it makes us feel more connected and less alone if we do kind of share these struggles.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I didn't know all of the detail. I knew some of it. So I did not know the second one was in NICU for so much longer, which is just, there's no way, like, there's just nothing to say. It's just unbelievably unbelievably painful and so much trauma for you guys to go through, and to have it in go in that way is just even, it's even more devastating, because you were in there for months, you know, trying to maybe have the other one come out on the other side, and then it's just like double. I don't even, there isn't a word. There's just no word. So,
yeah,
it's just so much trauma and so much pain and, so much to go through. And for both of you, you know, for you and your husband. And, as you said, you know, you're looking around, you're seeing other babies and stuff, and it's just so much to try and process and come to grips with. And, you know, for you to come out and share it and talk about it is amazing. And it, obviously, I have no doubt you've connected with lots of other women that have been in similar situations, or maybe not similar, but lost one. You know, I don't know that anybody else ever lost twins, you know, or, you know, what an unbelievable experience that is to have two. But loss and grieving and all of it, you know, by putting it out there in some way, it's just, you're sharing the trauma, the suffering with others, and it helps. I mean, that's really at the end of the day, what it's, what you're doing it for, right? You're just doing it that, you know, maybe some other mom or some other mom and dad that have gone through this experience just recently, you know, could maybe look at you guys and say, you know, not only did they make it through, but now they have three beautiful children. So, it's remarkable and, you know, an awful thing to go through, but what a blessing to come out on the other side where you guys are now.
That's right. Yeah. And you never know in the time that you're going through something that's so difficult, it's hard to kind of see, kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, for sure. But I hope if anybody gets anything from the story, it's that there is, and sometimes like you just need to, you know, as Des would say, just keep showing up. And I remember for years, like what that looked like, or for a whole year until we found out really that we were pregnant with, our daughters, is like, for me, like a win for the day was just getting out of bed. Like that was a win for me. And those little wins, you know, got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then before we knew it, you know, we have these three beautiful children. But I think it's like, when you're going through it, something that's so difficult like that, you just have to do the best you can day by day. And eventually those little wins turn into big wins, and you can find yourself in a really beautiful place again. I mean, sometimes I have to pinch myself when I look at my kids now, and they're beautiful and healthy and wonderful. And I'm just so glad that we had the courage to keep going and to keep trying, because there were so many days where I just felt like giving up, that, you know,
who wouldn't,
yeah,
in that position, like who wouldn't? So God bless.
And it transforms who you are as a person fundamentally. Like I'm much more compassionate, I think today, because of having gone through that. And it really kind of made me, I don't want to say like grow up, but I feel like it shaped me into a better person, and I'm more compassionate for the struggles that other people go through. So it, you know, there was a bigger purpose, and, I thank my, sons for shaping me into the person that I am today.
Yeah. To come back from such a profound loss is together, you know, you and your husband, and as you said, you know, you probably didn't want to get out of bed, you know, for a long time. Like it just takes such, you know, courage to keep going on, because it's easy to just feel like the world is, you know, conspiring against you. And, you know, you dream of becoming a mom, and, you know, there you have twins, and then they're gone. So it just feels like, you know, your heart is ripped out of you, but not once, like twice. And then to have the strength to, you know, kind of, you know, dig out of it, you know, day by day. And I'm sure it had to take a really long time for you to even be able to share any of this with anybody or talk about it with anybody in any kind of a forum, much less like social or on a podcast. But I'm sure every time you do, some other person is going to get to hear it, and it's going to help someone else. And hopefully instead of them giving up or feeling like the world's conspired against them or throwing them this horrible curveball that no one could ever expect to handle, that you moved forward and came out on the other side, and what a blessing it is that it worked out.
Yeah. Thank you. And that, yes, that's exactly, what it's all about, and sharing what we went through is hopefully it helps other people, in their own journey as well, or to not feel as alone if they're going through something that's similar.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, you've connected with other moms, things like that. And then hopefully they'll do the same as you're doing. You know, maybe they won't have the same forum because they're not such an accomplished runner and aren't being asked to go on podcasts to talk about running in life and how running helps us be better at everything and get through really difficult periods in our life. But hopefully in their case, they can talk to other people in whatever it is they do about how they're trying to make it through or share their experiences that would also help others. Cause it's just such an awful, awful thing to have to go through as a parent.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. And I want to highlight too, the importance of like running and sports and how it gave me it's always just given me such a deep sense of like strength to know that like I can overcome things and I can do hard things and difficult things and persevere. And I'm so grateful that I had these lessons instilled in me from such a young age, because I don't know if I would have been able to get through that time period of my life if I hadn't played competitive sports growing up, or if I hadn't had running, just because it taught me that like, hey, like you can, it's hard, but you can do it anyway. And I'm so grateful for the many lessons that sports has provided me and my husband both.
Yeah. So well said. And like we talked about your competitiveness, your fire drive, you've had all that for so long, but this is a whole other level of strength and resilience and, you know, testing your faith and your resolve and just all of it. It's had to have a transformational impact on you as just a human being, you know, as a mom, but also it has to make you stronger as a runner. You know, if you can overcome that and make it through that, like, my God, I can gut it out for another 10K in a marathon when I'm really hurting. Like, it's had to have had an impact there, right? In your overall strength and how tough you can be when things get really hard.
That's exactly right. And I thought of them during the race on Sunday. I thought that the exact thing that you just mentioned. And I thought, you know, and it makes you too, like, put things in perspective. It's like, okay, this is hard, but that was really hard. Like, I chose to do this. I get to do this. Like, this is going to end. And it almost makes me feel grateful for like that kind of a hurt, because it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's not as bad as, what we went through. So it almost makes me grateful that that's the kind of hurt that I have to endure that day. It's a good thing. It's a good hurt.
Yeah. And few of us could understand that kind of grieving or that kind of pain or that kind of loss, but it is for people that aren't runners, it's hard for them to understand, but we talk about it as a gift to be able to hurt, to be able to make it into the pain cave or the hurt locker, but come out. Like, and also Courtney DeWalter, who would be a dream to talk to one day, is probably my favorite ultra runner. Like, she just openly talks about waiting for it to happen, wanting it to happen and expecting it to happen and welcoming it versus like, at what point am I going to suffer? And so like, she's just changed so much of herself and her mindset about like waiting for this moment to happen, as opposed to like putting it off, but embracing it over these crazy distances. So for you, you know, the fact that you were thinking about them, you know, and that you chose to do this, you do choose to do this. It's awesome. And it's just something that it is a gift. It's a gift of all time that we could never repay, to be able to do this thing that we love. And, you know, but to be able to push at the level that you're at in a race like this and have a performance like that, it's just going to, in my opinion, it's going to spur you on to do some even more epic stuff. So we're definitely going to be excited to see what's coming next, man. Like, what do you think is next? Or what do you have like out there, like in the periphery, maybe like some big thing you're starting to think about, like, I'm going to go after this. What am I chasing?
Yeah, it's interesting. It does kind of get the wheels spinning a little bit, because I feel like it just opens up this new door that I didn't even know kind of existed, if that makes a little bit of sense. And it's funny, like when you're, you know, I'll never forget like my first marathon, I thought, God, this is like, who would ever choose to do this twice? Like, this is, I'm never doing this again, you know? And then after you finish, then your tune changes a little bit. And this is very similar. I'm like, oh man, I don't know if this is for me when I'm doing it, but it, you know, and then I finish and I've already got the, you know, the mind's thinking, okay, like there's these other road races that would be pretty cool. Like, Like Comrades or Two Oceans, I think would be pretty neat. I don't know if I'll dip into the ultra trail, but I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I'm still kind of having fun too. And I still think there's some untapped potential in the road marathon and in the shorter distances on the road. So, I'm going to, you know, maybe take a stab at some 5Ks, and I definitely think I can bring down, and whether or not it happens, I think I have the potential to bring down my marathon time a little bit more. So, it's going to be interesting. I'll get together with my coach and we'll kind of brainstorm. I think it's like, you have to go down the path of what excites you more. And I think that's where you're going to be most successful. And whether or not that's running a fast 5K, or maybe it's dipping into like a little more of some of the road ultras. I think I'm just going to kind of do some soul searching, and whatever excites me the most, I'm just going to go after it.
That's magic right there, man. Whatever sets your soul on fire.
Whatever sets your soul on fire, you're going to go in that direction.
Your soul.
It's
exactly.
Your journey. It's nobody else's. And we always do the best when we're most excited about something, like the athletes that I coach. It's like, you know, I'm never going to tell them what race to do, because it's like, well, what do you get? Like, when you think of all these races, like, what do you get excited about? Then that's the direction we need to go in. And that's how you're going to perform at your best.
That's so well said. That's why I love Goggins so much, man, because he's like all about the inner voice and the spirit animal. It's like, I could just listen to him 24/7. But yeah, like when everybody else is thinking Andrea's on some crazy track, or this is batshit crazy, like that's when you know you're going down the right road. And it's up to you, and it's not up to anybody else. It's what's going to get you excited, or maybe even keep you up a little bit at night before you go to sleep, because you're like, this is it. I'm going all in on this.
That's it. Yeah. What lights you up inside? And that's what, I mean, we're all kind of a little crazy, but it's fine, you know?
In this case, crazy is good. Let's talk about your current coaching relationship. And then we're going to talk about your coaching with your athletes, but personally, your current coaching relationship, I know it's going really well. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, I got coach actually the week before the trials in 2020. I was like, well, I qualified for the Olympic trials. Like, I should probably look into getting a coach. So I did a little bit of research, and I ended up finding Tony, and we've been working together ever since. So February 2020. So it's been about 3 years now. And yeah, we get along really well. We're really good friends. And he just has a way of like making things like lighthearted and fun, like of making sure that I don't take myself or running too seriously. Like if I kind of get caught up in my head, he'll kind of like make a joke and make me laugh at myself. It's like, you're being stupid. Like, don't think of it like that. Think of it like this. Or like before Houston, I was kind of caught in my head about, oh, this split and that split and the weather. I was so concerned about the weather. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, just go like hunt people down, go race, go have fun. And I ended up running really, really well because I didn't focus on my time. I didn't focus on the watch. I just went and tried to hunt people down, like in a kind way. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm very friendly with my competitors, but when it's on the race course, you know, you want to be competitive. So, and like I mentioned earlier, he just has a really good way of like, he knows when, you know, I have a lot going on, and he knows not to add too much running stress in addition to that stress, because that could lead to an injury too. So, it's been a really good, working relationship.
Awesome. Now, the fun part is you're also coaching runners. What have you learned? Like, how has that informed you? And what are you using from that? Like, maybe in your own running, just from interacting with different athletes, people you coach, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's been such a gift for me, you know. And a lot of times too, like when I'm hurting in a race too, it's like, okay, this is what I would tell my athletes. So I have to, I have to show them, like, lead by example. I have to show them, you know, you can stay strong in races. And it's just such a thrill to watch people kind of gain strength as they get through a hard workout. And they're like, oh, I did it. I didn't think I could ever do that. Or one of my runners, you know, it was her dream to qualify for Boston. And when she qualified for Boston, it was just like, I was crying happy tears with her. And to know that you help someone in their journey, and that's what this is all about, is like, giving back to others and sharing the things that have helped you along the way to help other people. And it's just really such a joy to see people kind of grow, not necessarily as runners, that too, but also like watch their mental strength grow and their confidence grow in themselves. And it's just so cool to kind of give back a little bit in that way.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's wonderful. And so we're transitioning right to community service, which is even better because you coaching or any runner at your level who's also coaching, it's just that is 100% a form of community service and it's fantastic. But this is an area that I kind of like to wrap the show with because the more we can get our guests and the people who are listening to the show to think about how they can give back more, do something in the community is important. So what's something near and dear to you, something that lights you up that you like to get involved with?
So I would like to, like when my kids are a little bit older, I would, their school doesn't have a track program. So I would love to start like a middle school running program. And it doesn't have to be anything super competitive, but just getting them out and getting them a little bit acquainted. And then when I was in high school, I would volunteer a lot at, there was like a nursing home not too far away and I would volunteer there. And I just, it really meant a lot to me to do that and to make an impact, in that way, in the lives of, you know, these older people who maybe didn't have, family anymore or family that came around a lot. And it was, I remember like, especially the people that didn't have a lot of people to comfort them, just to have a conversation with what a difference it made in their lives. So I would like to do something like that with my kids as well, as I get a little bit older, to take them and just kind of just make, you never know like the difference that you're going to make in somebody's life. Like it could make their day just by having a conversation or by sharing a meal or giving them a positive comment. You just never, it's like the butterfly effect. You don't know how you're going to positively influence somebody's day like that. So I would like to do that going forward.
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Every time we volunteer, every time we do something for somebody else, no matter how small it is, it just warms our own hearts, not to mention the people or the group that we're engaged with, that we're trying to help out or offer some sort of service to in the community. So the more we do that, the happier we're going to be as human beings. And the more we get our kids involved with that, as you mentioned, which is even better, it's just we're building it into the cycle. And we all grow from it.
I love that you asked that question, because I think it's something that we all need to think more about. And I know I do too. I'm guilty of just like getting so caught up in the busyness of my life that you forget about like what's really going to make a difference. It's like community service. And that ends up, like you said, like you feel better about it. It does more for you than it does for them. So it's like a win-win. But I think it's just, you know, we're all kind of, I think, as I mentioned, kind of guilty of getting caught up in our own lives and just to give back. I think that's just something. So thank you for bringing that up.
My pleasure. Well, this has been so much fun, Andrea. I have so much enjoyed our conversation and getting to know you. And I just am so inspired by your running and your story. And just to be able to put this out there and share it with everybody else, I just know what an impact it's going to have. I know how it's going to move the needle for people hearing this conversation. But I could never let you go without asking you if you have a final message to share with the Run Chats audience that you'd like to leave us with.
Yeah, I'm kind of just to piggyback on what you just said. I mean, that's like, that means like your comment means everything to me. And I've always like, and I'm very passionate about running, but I've always wanted it to mean more than just like me going out for a run or me running a fast time. And I think like, at the end of the day, it's not about those things at all. It's not about any accolade. It's about helping each other and making a difference in the lives of other people. So I think, thank you for having me on to share my story. And I hope that it does help somebody else.
Beautiful final message. Great place for us to land it. And as we tell everybody listening at the end of your episode, to keep lacing them up, to keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight. Wow, this was such a fun convo. I am so inspired by Andrea Pomeranski's running and just how she's handled the personal tragedy in her life, the hardships thrown her way, her and her husband's way, and just some of the other challenges as well, being diagnosed with osteoporosis, being told you won't run again,
and, you know, just trying to manage three babies under the age of two at home, that made me chuckle a little bit, reminded me of my mom trying to keep us in check. And we know how crazy that was. So God bless all the moms out there. I think there's just so many great lessons to unpack in this one about managing stress, running for mental health, learning how to give yourself permission and lose the guilt behind running for yourself to be healthy. She had a great conversation with her daughter about wanting to get better in soccer and practicing and explaining how mommy wanted to get better too, and she needs to practice her running. And what a great life lesson to start teaching a daughter at that age about why it's important to look after ourselves too as grownups and parents. So there's just so much in this one, I feel, that could really impact people. And it was just such a fun conversation and really inspired by Andrea's running, and look forward to following where she takes it from here, making her first Team USA is super exciting stuff, setting a USATF, a couple of USATF Masters records, and you know, more to come for sure. So definitely give Andrea a follow. She's posting great tips every day about fitness and health and nutrition, and she's definitely an interesting follow for sure. So get over to her page, give her a follow, and thank everybody for listening. Boston is coming up. I know she's going to be up there. I think she's running the 5K on Sunday. So if you happen to be up in Boston, get out there in the streets and cheer for her, give her some support. And I hope to see some people up in Boston. I'll be up there, if not running, just to cheer, just to get up there and be part of the scene, since it's not too far of a trip. So thanks, everybody, for being part of the Run Chats family. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing episodes. Thanks for taking the time to write reviews. Each and every one of you that take that step, it means so much. And everybody out there, I wish you all the best with your running. Keep lacing them up. Keep getting out the door. And always remember to stay in the fight, my friends. Peace out.